Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging, and their multiple birth parents of children with disabilities. And this week we're very excited to have Travis from the Parenting Spectrum and the School of the Road.
Yay!
Yay! We've been waiting so long! This podcast contains truth, laughter, and the occasional F word. I don't know if Travis is a swearer, actually, but, yeah. You know, it's more for adult ears than children's ears. Yeah. So, anyway, that's your language warning. Hello, Travis.
Hello, Travis.
Hey. So great to be here.
I'm so excited about this. We're just mostly direct message friends, but now we're actually talking.
It's official.
It's official. It really is. So we will start with our three questions and then we're going to get into, I know lots of our P's know all about Travis, and we've had a lot of people say, can you talk to Travis? And I'm like, yeah, we're trying. A pandemic happened. We all got locked down. So it made life hard. Anyway.
Yeah, we were meant to do this face to face, weren't
yes.
we?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe. Maybe. Yeah. One day you can come back over to Melbourne. Yeah. Or
that
we can go
exciting.
To Adelaide. Yeah. Okay, so the first question we're going to ask you, is there a song or music or a band that gets you through good times or bad times?
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess the thing is to maybe picture this. We're the type of family that loves to dance in the supermarket aisles. We're always the ones that as we're walking down, we'll hear one of the songs on in the supermarket and we'll start dancing and we'll do little whizzy dizzies and it's glorious. It's so
it
much
is.
Fun.
It is.
And for those of the people that have listened to the Parenting Spectrum, they'll know that Patch loves music and that he loves watching Rage on the ABC on Saturday mornings. Mm. And so one of the musos that Patch is really connected with is a musician who's also from South Australia originally, and that's Sia.
Yes.
And, yeah, so she's great. And so there's so many songs over the years that Patch is really connected to. And through Patch, I can also then connect with that type of music because it's what makes him thrive and what makes him tick.
Yep.
And it's the recent song that she's developed called Together, and it's for the autism movie called Music.
Oh.
And so there's the scenes where the young girl that dances right throughout that video clip, she puts her hands out to the side like a blossoming flower and opens up her mouth wide. And it's hilarious. So what Fiona and I have been doing is we've heard it come on the radio as we're driving in the car with Patch, is that we are officially mimicking that scene. There are people. And so we're at the traffic lights. People are looking at us. They're laughing at us. But it's what gets us through those bad times and what makes us pump as a family and thrive. And that's to have a laugh.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's the only way.
It's the only way. Laughter and it's actually, so joyful, those moments, and yes. I feel like other people miss out on them.
Yeah, yeah, it's funny for us, you know. I don't know if it's funny for anyone else.
Doesn't
well,
have to
every
be.
Every family has their own version, don't they? Yeah. Every family has their own thing that's their little in joke. Yeah, and it's awesome.
It is. It is. Aww. And music is powerful.
Well, it is really powerful. Yep. A number of years ago, we went across the United States, and that's another story I think I'll probably have a chat to you about later. But
yep.
we actually went to the Music Museum in Seattle in Washington, and it was around the time that Macklemore was really kind of kicking ass and doing some amazing music. And we got Patchy into the Music Museum playing the drums to that song, and they created a music video with him doing the drumming. Yeah, it was so awesome.
Yeah. And have you still got the clip of it or?
We have. In fact, what had happened on that day is that the whole sound system had kind of broken down. And it wasn't as the high quality that they wanted, but we said, look, we don't care.
No.
We've been talking about this music museum to Patch for about 3 months now. Aww. We're just happy to go in there. And by the time we got in there, they'd fixed it. And we kind of skipped the queue of about 100 people in the lineup and we straight to the front.
Amazing.
As you do.
Sometimes you can.
Yeah.
One
yeah.
little victory.
Yeah, why not?
tell us about, did you win any awards at school?
I think school for me was a challenge. It was so challenging. I really, really struggled at school for lots of different reasons. And I was actually having a think about some awards the other day, and one of the things that I did win, and it's kind of hilarious because I couldn't even say the word. I remember receiving this award. It was a book. A thesaurus, and I was calling it a theosaurus at the time.
Like a dinosaur.
Yeah. It's a, hey, Mum, I want a theosaurus. You know? and it kind of encapsulates my schooling for me because it was awarded to me for sustained effort. It was like, you're not really good at much, but you kind of give it a crack. You have a go at things.
Wow.
So that's kind of been my life, is it?
Yeah. Right.
To this day, I don't really think I'm actually a master of anything, but I give things a go and I kind of dig deep. Which is nice.
Yeah,
which
it is. And it's actually very relatable to a lot of our families.
Yes.
I feel like sustained effort is actually, I don't know about the thesaurus, but the award is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it's something that, it was setting me up back when I was in grade six that I was going to need this sustained effort for the rest of my life.
You really were, maybe. Yeah. And the big question, which I know half of our audience already knows, but why are you a P?
So I am a P because I'm the father of the most beautiful, beautiful little boy. He's not so little now. He's almost as tall as me. He's 11 years old and his name is Patch. And he's autistic. And Patch, he is the person that makes me get up in the morning and feel alive.
Yeah.
He makes me want to change the world. He makes me want to support and help others, and I just want to make him thrive. And for those of you who are listening here, you might have heard some of the about the parenting spectrum, is that Patch has had a lot of difficulties and struggles over his life, and he's got many, many differences, and it's those differences that I look at today as being the things that make him absolutely beautiful and actually stand out from the crowd.
Yep.
He's the kind of kid you really want to be around because anything and everything is absolutely possible, which he's proved over the years.
Yeah.
I call him the I can kid. The I can kid because he digs deep on a constant day. I think he's beautiful. He's 11 years old and he's got a big future ahead of him. Now, having said all of that, he requires very substantial support.
Yeah.
And 24 hours a day and doesn't sleep much and has a lot of differences that whilst they make it himself and he's the best version of himself, they create a lot of struggles in his life. And so every day we try to make every day a magnificent day for Patch by just creating positive experiences and positive dialogue in his life. So he feels really, really good about himself.
Oh.
And that is a parenting message for everybody. Whoa, actually.
Makes me want to cry.
Yeah, you're just amazing. Like, Mandy and I are huge fangirls of you. And we don't know your wife, but we sort of feel like we do because we've heard her on the podcast.
Yes.
So your wife is Fiona, and she is, you've put in the notes, she's a super mum, and she really is, isn't she?
Oh, look, for us, it's a team effort. Yep. I think that kind of underestimates what it is, but Fiona is an amazing mom. She works full time. She's got a gig at the ABC, but she's up, you know, often at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and up again, or goes to bed sometimes at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
We both kind of tag team life, and you know, I'm on, you're on.
Yeah,
I need 10 minutes here.
Yeah,
you watch Patch for 5 minutes whilst I make us a coffee or whatever it is.
Yep.
There is never a downtime.
No.
We are always on, and we can't. I think this is something that Fiona and I have learned to live with, the fact that we are always on. I think I was thinking about it yesterday. My chest often feels like a big balloon, which is blown up. Or if you imagine my heart is the balloon and it's blown up, but it hasn't had an opportunity to be released. And so you've got so much stress across the front of your body.
Yes.
And then both of our minds got 1,001 ideas of things we want to do and achieve. And the bucket's always full, and it often overflows. And so in between all of that, we manage to have adventures and have lots of fun, even though we don't get any sleep.
Yes, superhuman.
I don't know how we do it.
I don't know either because if you follow Travis on social media, he'll be like, oh, I've just been for a 3,000-mile run and we've done a bike ride for 12 hours. I'm like, what are you doing?
That's what makes you thrive.
Yeah. Look. So Patch loves – he loves movement, so he just loves being on a bicycle. He loves being on a swing, and he loves to bushwalk. And so, for a little boy that never sits still, he's like, I often describe him like a pinball in a pinball machine. You know, everything that he's touching in that pinball machine is gold, and he's just creating this beautiful trail of beauty around him as he moves. But he just doesn't sit still, and so we have to look after him and make sure he's safe. But
yes.
On the weekends, he's not sitting down playing games.
No, you can't take your eyes off him.
Some other kids of other parents that we know.
Yes,
We have to guide everything, and so we just guide him using his strengths and interests. And so we do these massively long bike rides, which he loves, and bushwalks, and it's all part of I guess the three of us having a beautiful connection as well.
Could you just go back to a little bit in the early days? What was it like when Patch was sort of a preschooler and a toddler?
Yeah, so we were living in Darwin, and it was around about this time of year. So it's just the start of the build-up. Everyone's nice and hot and sticky, and the fans are going constantly. And Fiona said to me that the childcare worker had said to her that they had concerns about Patch's development.
Right.
And Fiona had gone back to work, and I was working full time. And so Patch was being dropped off at the childcare place just one day a week. And so Fiona came home this day and she said, oh, look, the childcare worker said he's not making any eye contact. He's looking at ceiling fans all day, and he's not socializing with any other kids.
Right.
And for us, it's like, well, you know, we're in the territory. Patch was in the cot, and he's looking at a ceiling fan all night long anyway. So do we really even take that serious? And he was really young at this stage. It was like 13, 14, 15 months around about that age. And so we didn't really kind of listen to the first person that had suggested that, you know, Patch was displaying some differences from his peers. And so of course, Fiona goes back to work a little bit more, and then I start picking Patch up from the childcare worker, and she pulled me aside and she said, "Travis, we really need to talk about this." And of course, I left that place in an absolute mess, drove straight to Fiona's work, and we sat outside the ABC in Darwin. She came downstairs and we both sat in the car and we got really, really emotional about it because we guess we didn't know what that meant for Patch and where his life what would happen in his life and also for us as a family and what that would mean. Yeah. So, of course, we do what all, you know, people in Darwin do. We left Darwin if there was an emergency type of situation, which for us at that time, it felt like it was an emergency.
Yeah.
We felt like we didn't have any support networks there to support us. We didn't have any family there, even though we'd been living there for about, you know, almost 10 years.
Right.
We didn't have those family networks. There wasn't the number of speeches and OTs and psychs available in Darwin, and we still couldn't even get a diagnosis for many, many months. And so we rang up a paediatrician in South Australia. We drove down, and within a couple of days, he received a diagnosis. Back then was PDD NOS, pervasive developmental disorder, not otherwise specified.
Okay.
Which, of course, later on for the National Disability Insurance Scheme was diagnosed on the autism spectrum.
Yep.
And to this day, he requires very substantial support.
Mm.
But those early days for us, they were really scary.
Yeah.
We made a lot of mistakes. I look back and think how many times we stuffed up as parents.
Yeah.
But we did what was best for our family and for Patch at the time. And so we invested a lot of time and energy and also money prior to the NDIS on behavioural therapy.
Yes.
And it was deficit-based as opposed to strengths and interest-based.
Yes.
And while we regret that and we wish we'd never, ever put our son or our family through that, I have to take something out of that, and I can't get emotional when I talk about this because for me, it is the biggest regret of my life, doing that type of therapy, because he was so vulnerable.
I know.
Everything was so raw, and we just wanted the best for our son. And I think back now in terms of the way that service providers work with families. We need to create environments that are more open to hearing the parents' voice.
Yes.
In terms of not challenging the parents' opinion on whether or not they thought a particular thing was or a type of therapy was done wrong or inappropriately. So these days I'm a huge advocate and I push for strengths and interest-based development for children. And I can't push it enough. I can't advocate for it enough. And even though seen over the years, I've seen successes for children, but where I've seen them occur in a really good, positive way, it's where they've actually been working on the strengths and interests.
Yes.
And they may have developed a splinter skill and they may have had a deficit within a part of that splinter skill, and then they've been able to improve and develop those skills just because it was part of a passion area. And it wasn't because it was a standalone skill of which a lot of those deficit-based, you know, therapy models are based on. And so a lot of people won't like hearing that. I know a lot of parents will be out there. The thing that I've learnt the most over the years is listening to autistics and listening to parents of children that have undertaken a variety of therapies over many, many years. I hear them talking about strengths and interests.
Yep.
And to me, that's a really, really kind of a telling sign of the things that are working for them.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
So I think it's a point that it gets under my skin.
Yes.
But I can only be an advocate and really strive by talking about the positives now,
yep,
and trying to create that positive change.
Oh, yeah. I just 100% Mandy and I are on this train because, and we always say, like, Mandy and I last week were doing Carers Week, and people always try and make you say the deficits. And I'm like, no, we want to talk about the positives. We want to talk about the stuff that our children love and that makes them thrive. And that actually makes our life really interesting. But
yeah.
And enhances our lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know, yeah, look, in the cerebral palsy world, there's all sorts of other things, Travis. And I really I identify with some of the things that you're saying in terms of the treatments that my daughters went through when they were little, and that makes me cry too.
Mm.
Yeah, it's tough. It's hard going.
But I know for me, I just followed the expert's advice because I didn't know.
Oh, look, we're all so vulnerable. I mean, you were probably like us. It's like, all right, your child's got a diagnosis. No one's really giving you any advice, but then there's heaps of people that are giving you advice. Mm. So Dr. Google comes out and you start searching. And you start searching, evidence-based therapies. But what I really needed was, and this doesn't happen straight away because you don't know your child, but what I really needed was patch-based therapies.
Yes.
And we've learned that over the years that while something may be evidence-based, it has to be what works for your child. And if something's not working for your child, stop it.
Yeah.
And it's really good advice. Yeah. Listen to what he said.
Yeah, preach it.
Preach it, yeah. Because I think as a parent who doesn't have a master's in OT or whatever, it's really hard sometimes to stand up to that. But yet you know in your heart, you're like, this isn't right, you know? And then you feel like, am I doing the wrong thing for my child? But you can look in their face and you can just tell that they don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I think the telling point for me, well, it's been confirmed over the years in terms of I've got a lot of great relationships with individuals that use non-traditional forms of communication. So they've learnt to spell to communicate by pointing at a letterboard or through an AAC-type device.
Yeah, yep.
And so we've communicated, written to each other over the years, and I've interviewed people where they talk about going through therapy programs when they were, 2, 3, 4, 5 years of age, or even up to the age of kind of like 10 or 11. And those that are educating them are still doing, point to the circle, which one is the square, locate number one. When these individuals, if the therapists that were working with them had presumed competence, that already kind of have an understanding that, okay, we need to make this age appropriate.
Oh, yes.
We need to have a curriculum that is exciting and enthralling and that the child wants to be sitting there. And so imagine listening to somebody treat you like a 2 and 3 year old when you're, an early teen.
Yeah.
Using those same principles, trying to reinforce you with a lolly. I mean, how insulting is that for a human being?
Very.
And so I've listened to those people and that's the way that I communicate with all autistic people now that are nonverbal, have the presumption of competence.
Yes. Yes.
I treat them exactly like anybody should be treated.
Yep.
I talk to them exactly the way that I'm talking to you.
Yep.
At the same tone and level, because I understand that, the majority of people that I've worked with over the years, and I've worked with so many autistic children and adults over the years, is that they understand what we're talking about.
Yes. Yep.
Absolutely understand what we're talking about.
Yep.
And we just have to provide them with that choice and control.
Yep.
And teach them at an age appropriate level so that they can thrive.
Yeah, wow.
It's not hard, is it? It sounds really difficult.
No, it's not hard.
But it's not rocket science, is it?
It's not.
Treat somebody the way that you want to be treated yourself.
Yes. I remember having a big change when I had no experience. I didn't know anybody with cerebral palsy until my daughter was diagnosed. And then I met amazing children that were nonverbal and I would just talk to them like I would anybody. But I didn't know how to do that before having my own child.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I remember it being, I was like, yeah, this is fine. Come on. Get with the program, Mandy.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why we need diversity.
That's
because
right.
Because then we realize, oh, we're just all people and we just talk
that's
to
right.
everybody, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just like to think about people that walk into our family home over the years, and Patch has probably had 30, 40 therapists, various sorts, working with him over the years, and they say, "Hello, Patch.
I know.
How are you today?" And I was like, "Oh, I can't wait for you to leave."
I know.
And he's thinking the same thing, believe me.
Absolutely.
Oh, dear.
You get very good at spotting great therapists really quickly. And tricky ones very quickly.
An acronym that I use around great therapists as well. So Fiona and I decided that a number of years ago that we'd kind of had enough of this negative narrative. We wanted to create a positive narrative, and we wanted to create environments where parents thrive, and if the parents could thrive, the child could thrive.
Right. Yes. Exactly.
And so we started working with teachers and allied health professionals because we wanted to create great teachers and great allied health professionals. Yeah. And so we developed a curriculum around that so that we could improve the relationships between mums and dads and carers and those that work with our children. And so I call it, you know, great teachers, great allied health professionals, and the word great there's a different kind of word for each of those letters, and so it goes along the lines of great. It's goals, so we establish what those goals are. The roles, so what are the roles of mum and dad? What's the roles of the teacher or allied health professional, and what's the role of my child within this team? And then it's empathy. So what does empathy look like for our family? And it's different for every single family. So what's that language usage?
Yes.
You know, in terms of positive language, in terms of identifying ableism so that we don't have that, so it doesn't make people feel less than within our family unit. And then it's the approaches that we use to communicate. So whether or not that's online, it's through an app, it's face-to-face, it's an email once a day, once a week, it's through a communication book, and what are those types of therapies around those approaches. And then it's T, it's like teamwork, transparency, two-way street. And it makes this word called great.
Wow.
And so Fiona and I, we are on a mission to create great teachers and great allied health professionals.
I just need that in my house.
Preach
we need a poster.
It. Yeah, we do need that poster. Have you got that as a poster?
Yeah. Look, so we've been working with NDIS providers, so the allied health professionals, speeches, OT, psychs, you name it, and trying to create as many of those allied health professionals around the country as possible, and as well as going into schools and doing the same thing. Mm. Now, obviously, this is an approach that, you know, we've worked hard to develop this curriculum. Mm. I guess we spent almost a year to develop the curriculum for a training unit.
Right.
And so we're excited to announce that we're going to create this into an online e-learning platform so we can put it out there so as many parents can grab hold of it and say to their teacher or the allied health professional, hey, look, we want to develop a great working relationship with you. I've got a tool to help you make that happen.
Travis,
this is amazing. You're just
I'm crying.
You're super people.
I just
amazing. There isn't words really.
We
to
will
describe.
Help promote that. Far
oh,
and
we
wide.
Will. We'll
I mean, you don't
it.
Need us, but we will.
Yeah, you don't need us, but we will promote it. And my daughter is actually a pediatric OT, so she will also.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And she, if I say so myself, is a good one. She has lived experience.
Yes, she
and
does.
Yeah. Yeah, she's gentle, which is nice.
Oh, you must be so
nice.
Proud.
Well, maybe she's great. Maybe she's great.
Yes.
Yep.
Wow, I feel like that. I need the great in my house somewhere.
Yeah.
I need that reminder. Yeah. That's so powerful, Travis.
Mm. Oh, I'm excited to hear that because it's look over the years working with schools for many, many years and working with parents and working with teachers – is that there was this real breakdown as to what a really great relationship looked like.
Yes, it sure is.
So Fee and I just started with a whiteboard, and, of course, this is how the Parent Expecting podcast started.
Yes.
The ABC. We started with one idea which led to another. And so we broke it down. What are those really key important things that parents are looking for and that teachers and allied health professionals are looking for?
Mm.
Because whether or not we like it or not, is that relationships are things that really need to be worked on.
Yep.
And often we need some guiding principles to help us create those really great relationships. And so if you take the goal one as an example, there was this real disconnect because of the National Disability Insurance Scheme and education kind of don't marry. They kind of don't want to come together. But for us, it was really important that when we were talking to Patch's teachers, that they understood what his NDIS goals were.
Mm.
Because it was no good. And here's the example that I often talk about. If a child was attending an OT session and part of their goal was to improve fine motor, and that was through handwriting, and yet in that particular class or the series of classes that a child attends during the day, all they were using was IT, so they were typing, well, they were never going to be given an opportunity to improve that particular NDIS goal or their own personal goal at school.
Yes.
And so it's as simple as saying, hey, you guys are really important as teachers, and this is what we're doing with allied health professionals to improve those outcomes for our son or daughter. I'd like to sit down and really talk to you about those so I can ensure that these are actually happening or you're aware of these within the school environment, because if we work as a team, we can really help our child develop.
Yeah, which is what everyone wants.
Yeah.
And the teachers would definitely be thrilled too, I think.
Yeah. Mm. And, you know, when you talk about roles, you know, I stand at the school gate, and I've got a great thing going on between Patrick's classroom teachers now, and I developed something called the positive feedback loop.
Yeah.
And it's as simple as at the start of the day when I drop Patch off, I say something amazing that he's done.
Yeah.
And it, even on those toughest, most difficult days,
mornings,
we can always find something that our child's good at.
Yeah.
And say, oh, you're never going to believe it. Do you want to hear about what Patch did on the weekend?
Yeah.
And so that's what I start the conversation with. So he feels really good about himself.
Yes.
He's pumped up. He's got self-belief. He knows that Dad likes him, loves him. He knows that the teachers are hearing this. And so we had to do this because Patch has not a lot of language in the spoken form.
Mm.
And so we weren't really having an opportunity to have these kind of engaging conversations that a lot of parents that have children that are quite verbal are able to have. And so likewise, at the end of the day, the teacher would come to the front of the gate and they would then go ahead and tell me in front of Patch some of the cool things that he did on that day. And it just started to make him feel great about himself and really pick himself up.
Yes. Rather than us waiting for them to come and tell all the hard things, which was my first 5 years of schooling.
Yeah, that's right. And I think back to my teaching days, and I worked in a lot of schools that where the children's behaviour could be quite challenging.
Mm, yes.
And one of the things that I always did from the very first day, even if a kid walked in, was swearing, threw a chair, whatever it was, I would call the parent and say, hey, you know what little Jimmy did today? He pushed his chair in at the end of the classroom. Or I heard him talk to his friend and how he was polite to his friend.
Yeah.
And so to pick up on one little thing that the child had done,
no,
call the mum and dad
world.
That were normally called because the child was misbehaving.
Yep.
And then that mum and dad relayed that message to their child and 9 times out of 10 that child would walk into my classroom and they would have a greater respect for me because of what I'd done. Now, it wasn't always that easy.
No, it's not, but
it's a change of thinking.
It is. And I actually, when the boys started school, I had a meeting because they're my fourth and fifth children, I was a little bit savvy, and I said, you will never come to the classroom door and call me in front of parents. Ever. Is that agreed? Yes. Okay. Then we'll attend this school. Because it's negative perception right from the get-go, right? And I thought, you're not, and I don't think any teacher should ever do it. right? Because we're all human beings. And so if I see, oh, someone's asked Mandy to stay back, I wonder what happened. You try not to go there, but your mind goes there.
Yeah.
And when it's the same kids, you know, their parents are coming in. No, I just, yeah, it's shaming. I don't like it.
No.
Yeah, I don't like it either. And we've got a bit of a policy that we have happening as well for in our family with Patch, is that if there is anything that a therapist or an educator is concerned about, is that we do it without Patch's presence.
Yes.
Yes.
And so obviously there are those things of which we need to talk to Patch about it.
Yeah.
About, but it, we can arrange that after we've had the conversations as adults. And
yes.
So if there's a concern about a behaviour or something or a difference that is occurring in Patch's life, which they feel is going to be detrimental, we talk about it later on via phone, email, you know, Skype, whatever the form is. And then we reach an agreement as to how we're going to tackle that. Instead of pulling the child in and talking to the child in front of them.
Yes.
And which makes them feel bad.
I know.
Yeah, and it's still, and look, and I think this is one of the things that I constantly observe this with therapists and allied health professionals, is that they are time poor.
Yeah.
And I recognize that they are time poor because they've got so many children and adults that they're working with, and so they want to get something dealt with straight away. But I think what that can ultimately impact is that individual, so the individual has the disability because they're hearing these negative messages, but also the parents because they're hearing those negative messages. And so if you want to build your business up, talk about the positives.
Yeah.
And then
yep.
factor in that time in your day. You may make less money, but you'll develop better relationships and you'll enjoy your work more.
Yeah, it's so true. It really is. And I've had comments, you know, maybe I've been at a psychologist or something with one of the boys, and they'll just say something and I think, and they look at me straight away, my kids, and I know that's the first thing we're going to talk about when we get out of that office.
Mm.
And it won't matter of all the things that's been said, that's the thing that they'll remember.
Mm.
And an interesting story, my daughter who's my second daughter, she's very bright. We call her scholarship because it annoys her. But anyway, when she went into year seven, she got a whole stack of scholarships and we went to one of the schools for an interview. And the person said to her, oh, this is amazing, rattled off all these things. And then they said, the only area that we could probably really offer you any extra support in would be English. Now, from that one conversation, she got like six scholarships to private schools. She believed she couldn't do English.
Wow.
So it was ridiculous. Yeah. And she actually got an amazing mark for English in year 12 because, you know, we worked through all that and her teacher worked one-on-one with her. But that's a child who, you know, if you want to call it, functions highly. And that one statement still stuck with her, you know. And she's at uni and she'll still get me to read over things. She's smarter than me. Right? But because she thinks I'm better at English. So I just think, what are we doing to our children when we're pointing out deficits right in front of them?
Yeah.
Look, I think back to when I was at school. I've got a facial tic, so it's a chronic facial tic. So
right.
When I get stressed, I think when I haven't been looking after myself, the facial tic appear and it can be quite chronic and it'd be quite debilitating.
Yep.
Right.
And it can really put me in the fetal position, so to speak.
Yeah.
And when I was at primary school, it really started.
Mm.
And then in high school years, it was really present.
Mm.
And I was bullied right throughout school growing up. And kids called me names.
Mm.
But for me these days, I've done a complete kind of turnaround. It was very traumatic for me, and I think back to those days growing up at school, being traumatized and what it has done my entire life in terms of the way that I feel about myself. But it's taught me how I need to interact with my own son and also other people that are neurodiverse and to be really positive. And so what it's given me is no longer any self-doubt because I talk about it. I tell people that it exists. You could see me these days and you could see me talk, give a keynote speech or run a workshop. You wouldn't even notice that it exists because I've now got the power over that chronic tick because I've opened up about talking about it.
Wow.
But what it's given for me ultimately is a passion for social justice for those that are discriminated against by their differences.
Yes.
And maybe one day your daughter won't show you her essay. You'll be able to read that essay once it's done and marked as opposed to prior.
Yes. That's really, wow, I know. I must say I didn't realise how much tics were affected by stress. So because we've been in lockdown my stress has gone up, but my boy's stress way down because there's been – a routine that we can manage really well, but they don't have to wear clothes they don't like or, you know.
get to here by there, get to there by there. Yes,
it's taken a lot of the pressure off and all the tics have gone. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, I just assumed that they were – we don't talk about them. They're not a huge thing, but it's just part of their life. And then I thought, oh, how much stress am I putting them under, you know? Ugh.
I know. I think about that. I've got this unusual relationship between what is a tic and what is a stim.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Because I grew up having a facial tic.
Yeah.
And my son, he self regulates or self soothes by stimming.
Yes.
And I remember. I remember trying to suppress my tics, and I could never suppress them.
Right.
I could never hide them. They just occurred when they occurred, and I'd try and like stand to the side, or put my neck down, or put my hand over my face.
Yep.
But my son, he just fully embraces who he is.
Yeah.
It is glorious.
It is, isn't it?
Absolutely glorious. He loves long, thin leaves and or grass, and he picks them up. And he flicks them around, and it is the most beautiful, beautiful thing to watch.
Mm.
And I just think, oh, wow, I'm so glad that I had the experience growing up now having my facial tic where I had to try and mask and hide it because I understand that that wasn't possible. So I don't ever ask my son to stop. Stimming, so to speak, because I know he can't because this is his self-soothing, calming mechanism.
Yes.
Yes. And it's actually once you realise how powerful they are, self-calming, it's so amazing to watch. You're like, I'm so glad I'm not going to force you not to do this.
That's right.
We have the lovely rituals that the boys do and I think, oh, this is powerful. This is going to help you for the rest of your life.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Can you tell us a little bit how what have you done to look after yourselves? Tell us a little bit about your running and tell us we need to hear all about that.
Oh, okay. So I guess it's quite a long story, but in terms of my running over the years, I ran a heap of marathons back in 2013 to attempt to raise a heap of money for different autism organisations around the country. And so I remember feeling really kind of sorry for myself many, many years ago and decided that I needed to drop a few pounds. So I went for a run around the block and I got about 500 metres and I sat in the gutter and I was actually physically sick.
Yeah,
I was so stressed.
Yes.
Well, I only got 500 meters, which is it's not far, but I was sick for many reasons. But I'd physically suffered depression my entire life.
Yep.
And I then, my bucket was full and it was overflowing. I was dealing with what a diagnosis of autism meant for my son.
Yep.
And so I thought running something that had always helped me soothe and calm myself. And so, all right, 500 meters, I got, I'm sat in the garden, I'm throwing up. And I thought, right, I'm going to make some changes in my life.
Yep.
I put on a few pounds, probably had too many beers. And this wasn't good for me. And so I set up this running platform, which worked out that with other people joining the platform, they could raise money for their own autism organization. Ah. We raised somewhere between $150,000 to $200,000 back in the day. But, of course, life takes over.
Yeah.
And you kind of get into the swing of life, or not so much in the swing of life in, for our family. And you put on the extra few pounds, maybe you're sitting down at night and maybe having one or two too many beers. And that's what happened. So I was using, alcohol as a coping mechanism, of which I can be certain there's so many COVID.
100%. Yes.
Mm. And before you know it, it becomes a habit, you know.
Yep.
You're having a bag of chips, a chocolate bar, and just a couple of beers at a night, at a night time, and then therefore you put on 20 kilos.
Yeah, there's your whole daily calorie intake.
I guess it's a bit of story. Hey, what's that?
I said that's your whole daily calorie intake in half an hour.
Oh, pretty much, pretty much. Yeah, yeah. And so I wasn't looking my best, and Fiona, you know, she was in a similar pattern. She enjoyed a wine and she liked the chocolate. And so we were at a stage in our family's life where we didn't know what we were going to do with Patch's schooling.
Right.
And while I believe in inclusion and I know what inclusion looks like, where, you know, children need to be able to learn and feel safe and they're empowered and they're happy, accommodated, included, they feel independent, connected, and they've got like choice and control over their lives.
Mm.
We didn't have a school in South Australia at the time that I believed was going to best meet the needs of my son.
Mm-hmm.
And so we moved to New South Wales for Patch to attend an autism-specific school.
Wow.
And while I don't think it was the best choice in retrospect, but I think at the time we were making the best choice for our family.
Mm. Yeah.
And so we went over there and, of course, our family unit started to fall apart. We were missing the new friends and the connections that we had in our community in South Australia.
Yes.
School wasn't working as well as it could have been for Patch. And Fiona and I, our relationship was starting to really have a lot of strain on it.
Mm.
And I remember the day of where it changed. We took Patch to a sailing event out on one of the local lakes, and it was a local disability organization would run these little 12-foot skiffs, and Fiona would go out with Patch on the little boat and they'd sail around for an hour or so. But there was this other guy, he was about 24 years of age and he was autistic, and I was sitting next to his dad, and I think his name was Trent, and Trent came up to me and he said, "Hey, Travis, Dad says there's nothing I can't do. Dad says there's nothing I can't do." And Trent would go out with the carer for 10 minutes on the boat, come with, and he'd say to his dad, hey, Dad, can I go out on the boat by myself? And Dad would go, "Oh, you know, not yet, Trent. You're almost there, mate. You're almost there. You can do it. You can do it. Keep practicing." And Trent would turn to me and say, Travis, and I'd only met Trent this like a few minutes earlier, and he'd say, Travis, did you hear that? Dad says there's nothing I can't do. I'm going to go and practice." And he kept doing this. Every 10 or 15 minutes, he'd come back in and have the same conversation with me. And on the way home that day, I remember reflecting on a guy in Melbourne at the time by the name of Chris Varney that was starting to do some amazing stuff. He established the ICANN Network, an autism-led organisation.
Yes.
That was based around strengths and interests and working in schools. And his narrative was going around in my mind about it's a positive narrative. It's a positive dialogue. We've got to create an environment and this language base that makes people feel really good about themselves. Yeah. And we need to concentrate on their strengths and interests. So we got home, Fiona and I started to talk about this, and we started to talk about what is it that we love doing together as a couple? What were some of the best moments in our life together as a couple? And it was years, years earlier where Fiona and I we'd cycled our bicycles through Southeast Asia and then from Canada to Mexico.
Oh.
It's when we felt most connected. Ride,
Canada to Mexico.
Huge, huge. 8,000.
My word.
Yeah. It's massive, massive when I think about it. But, you know, we were young and, yep. and we could do anything and time meant nothing.
Yep.
And so that's what made us happy. And so we then started talking about what is it that made Patch happy?
Mm.
And what made Patch happy was the great outdoors, camping, movement. I'm like, oh, my God, can we marry the two of these together?
Uh-huh.
Fiona and my passion with Patch's passions and his interests. And so I started to look around for a bike of which Patch could sit on the front of. Now, Patch has a lot of motor planning differences, and he can now ride a bicycle by himself.
Yeah, I've seen the videos.
But at the time he had it. Yeah, which is great. It's amazing. But at the time he was really struggling with his motor planning and having control over his body parts. And so we were like, well, let's concentrate on the things he loves. So the movement. So we got him on the front of this bike, and I remember the day that it arrived. So this bike was called a semi-recumbent tandem.
Yep.
I sat on the back in a cycling position. Patch sat at the front, and we took off down the road, and he squealed with joy.
Aww.
Now, Patch had been, like, he had internalized this whole move and the new school where he shut down completely. He was rarely smiling. He had lost the majority of or suppressed a lot of the language that he'd been using previously. Mm-hmm. And we heard him laugh. And then he started to name the bike parts and he wanted to go back on the bike. And so this 1K bike ride down the road led to 5Ks, 10Ks, 20Ks, 60Ks,
oh,
overnight trips, led to camping in the lounge room. And it led to me getting while Fiona was away and Patch and I looking at the map and I'm going, I reckon we can do a trip. And Fiona was expecting me to like find a spot in America that had a rail trail or something like that, like 100 miles.
Yep.
And I put a line right across America.
I'm just imagining her face, but anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing. She's no, Travis, we're not doing that. That's ridiculous. And I'm like, why not? You've got long service leave banked. I'll sell everything and anything so that we can do this trip because we've found something that Patch is passionate about.
Yeah.
And so we sold a heap of our belongings. And I said, what's the worst that can happen? We're going through so many struggles every day.
Yeah.
It's one foot in front of the other or one pedal stroke in front of the other, so to speak.
Yep.
And so we cycled 5,600 kilometres from one side of America to the other.
Unbelievable.
My goodness.
Out there, yeah, I know. Yeah. Like really out there.
Amazing.
But I tell people the story. I say, look, it had absolutely nothing to do with the bike ride. And they go, what do you mean? You know, you're on the bike every day. And I said, the whole we did it was because we were going to look after everyone's mental health.
Yeah.
Part of that was to looking after us all physically.
Mm.
And so we taught Patch how to put up the tent. We taught Patch about cooking. We taught Patch using number plates on the side of the road that we found and signs on the side of the road. We taught Patch because he met new people every single day.
Yeah,
and they were people that were excited to meet him.
Yeah.
And so they were people that had never met him before. They never had these preconceived ideas about him. They treated him like a human being.
Mm.
They were excited about what he was doing. And so instead of Patch meeting just the local kids at the school and the teachers and all the therapists that saw him as being somebody with a disability often at times.
Yes.
He was meeting people that were excited about him.
He was a traveller.
And giving him high fives.
Yes.
And Americans are the most friendliest people in the world. So what a great place to
they
do
are.
It.
They are. They really, really are.
And so
they,
supportive.
They yeah. are. Yep. I've never met a group of people.
Never.
Come into my house. Use my phone.
Yeah.
You know, stay at my house. Come stay at my friends. Like,
yeah, they're
so
amazing.
Amazing.
Oh, look, and we stayed with people that ran autism organisations.
Yeah.
We met people. Like we met this guy. Like, I still remember his name. He's Gene Meek. He was such a coolest dude. We... We're on the side of the road in the middle of a place in Montana on the far end of the Rocky Mountains. So we've just crossed six mountain passes in the Rockies.
Out.
And Gene Meek comes up to us and he asks us, is everything okay? Do you need a place to stay? And we were so open to this at the time. Maybe we were a little bit naive, who knows. But we've always had positive experiences with people wherever we've gone around the world. And we ended up staying in this old container house that Gene had, and he threw the car keys to me and said, look, if you need to do a tiki tour around my town, you can go and do that. He drove us 80 miles to go and get a bike part fixed for our bike. And then at the end of our journey, 79 days later, he flew from one side of America to the other, borrowed a mate's pickup truck, drove 11 hours, and was our support crew for the last 3 days.
Oh!
Where are those types of people in our life?
I'm telling you, they're over in that country. Yes. Amazing.
Yeah, they're amazing. Americans are amazing.
Yep.
Oh, they really are.
Yeah. Well, that is one heck of a story. There's a book in that. Have you written that down?
Not yet. I kind of think that maybe that's a chapter of a book.
Okay.
Totally.
Your life's got a lot
of
good chapters.
Booking us down the track there.
Yes.
We've got a dream that we want to walk from one end of New Zealand to the other.
Oh, wow.
That would be beautiful.
Yeah. Which would be amazing.
Would you start at the top, like the North Island, and go down to the south?
Yeah. And just camp, free camp,
and
connect with local people. And Fiona's a Kiwi, and Patch's—he's eligible to get a New Zealand passport.
Ah.
And I worked in New Zealand for 12 months in a Maori Polynesian school.
Looks like a pretty great country to go to.
Yeah, at the moment, it's very good. Oh, I love New Zealand. We've been to Queenstown and the boys just loved it there.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing place.
Have you seen Hunt for the Wilder People? Because that's what they're kind of.
Oh, I love that movie.
That is our favourite movie.
Do you know what my favourite scene is?
Which one?
My favourite scene is when, what's the older guy? What's his name?
The
actor?
Well, Sam Neill, but I can't remember his name in the
Sam
movie.
Sam Neill's putting the clothes on the clothesline. He just throws them on.
Yeah.
That's how I do it. No pegs.
That movie, we have watched it so many times. Oh. It's our family's favourite movie.
Oh.
And my favourite scene, because I grew up in a very strict religion that I've now left, is when they've got the funeral and the minister's like, he's tricky like that, Jesus. What's behind this door? And I just think that's what it's like growing up at church. Like, I think the answer's Jesus, but it doesn't make any sense. Anyway, we digress with the Hunt for the Wilder People. It should be the movie of the podcast because everybody loves it.
I know.
Yeah, it's choice, eh?
It is choice.
No child left behind. No child left behind. That should be your saying. Oh, dear me.
And also I wanted to say, what is the Autism Spectrum Australia Parent Carer of the Year Award? That sounds pretty impressive.
You held that one back.
It's really nice. You asked me at the start of this of this chat to talk about kind of awards. I guess that's the one.
I'm
pretty chuffed about it.
Yes.
I don't know if it's embarrassing. Do you have to live up to something like that? But it's really nice to be recognised for the advocacy work that I've done over the years.
Absolutely.
Supporting others. So it's really nice.
Or is it a piece of paper?
I think, you know, COVID really kind of affected a lot of those awards, didn't it? Like in terms of going along, and I really wanted to put on the suit that I found. I found a suit a couple of years ago. Fiona and I had gone out our one night a year type of thing. We're walking through Rundle Mall, and there's a suit sale on. They're getting rid of the old suits that used to be their like their rental hire suits.
Yeah,
it's this like $1,000 suit for $100, and I'm like, that's
the one for me.
that's gonna be the suit that I wear to everything.
And then COVID.
Oh no!
And then COVID hit, and I've won a couple of awards since, and haven't been able to go and do any face to face collections.
So. Oh well, I want a photo of you in the suit on the bike with all the awards. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Before we do our cry laugh difference, is there anything else that you really want to tell all of us?
Have we missed anything?
And everyone that's listening.
Oh, okay. I think, you know, mums and dads that are listening, I think the number one thing that I always, you know, get people to think about is that your child is awesome.
Yes.
And that if you continue to focus on what's possible and what motivates your child and create those positive associations in your child's life, they are going to be encouraged to and internally motivated to develop in new areas. And so if we concentrate on this intrinsic motivation as opposed to the extrinsic motivator by using those strengths and interests, things will fall into place for them when they are ready. But remember that we, as those guides, we have to provide opportunities for those strengths and interests.
Yep.
We just can't allow them to think that they're naturally going to occur unless we provide those opportunities.
So if we
just continually provide those opportunities of the things that they're good at, and that doesn't mean not concentrating on things that they're not good at, because we still have to support them and guide them through a lot of the things that they're having difficulty with. Because obviously, as we all know, at school they are being inundated with things that they may have challenges with.
Yep.
But if we can work with our teachers and work with our therapists to, if they're interested in football and they've got to write an essay on football, they've got to write an essay and there's 20 topics, why not make football one of those topics as a choice that they've got to make?
Absolutely.
And that can teach them their learning as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And our amazing ed support team at school, they were like, why can't an essay be in a grid? Why can't it be like a big, like an Excel spreadsheet where you put all your ideas down? And so you can read it, but it's really easy to make it in little blocks. Mm. Who said it has to be a page, you know? And then all of a sudden it's a task that you can do. And then one day you can put that together as an essay.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be. Teachers that think outside the box are
the greatest.
Just the greatest gift.
You know, I think back to when I was at school and I didn't, as you know, you've heard before, I didn't have a great school experience.
Mm.
But I also, academically, I don't think I was very good at a lot of subject areas. And I really struggled with English.
Mm.
And I think I got 51%.
Oh, you got over the line.
Yeah.
Just over the line, you know.
Yeah.
That one extra mark. I studied for an hour too long. But and I think back that, and I went and studied science.
Yep.
And I still had difficulties completing the literacy components within that science course. But who would think all these years later that I'd be writing articles for magazines.
Yes.
And you speak so beautifully.
The ABC.
Yes.
Yes.
Even though that I had difficulty with language. And it's because the reason that I've improved my language is because I'm interested in the topics.
That's
right.
Yes, exactly.
And as a young boy growing up, I hated Shakespeare.
Yes.
So why would I want to write about it?
Totally.
Totally.
This is the truth, Travis.
It really, really is.
I was kicked out of classrooms all the time for talking.
I just didn't understand why you could say on football and fishing.
Yep.
Yes.
I know. I do have a bugbear against English. I, of course, I believe we need English, But in Victoria, I think it's the same around Australia, you can do, you don't have to do maths, you don't have to do science, but it from all of high school, 10, 11, 12, you must do English and you must pass English to get your VCE. So not conversational English, not English that you can, you know, read a basic quote or, you know, write an email. You have to be able to write 4 essays in a 2-hour period or 3-hour period. And I just think it's the biggest discrimination there is. I do not understand why English in that format is required for every single person who does year 12. Anyway, I've said that a lot of times.
It's certainly not the functional English or literacy that we often hear about for our children.
No.
And if we as parents and people that work with children with disabilities are accommodating their needs, those needs then need to be met in terms of curriculum development and the way that teaching occurs, and also through assessments.
Yes.
But we're in such a changing world.
We really are.
As well, in terms of the language requirements required in whatever it is that our children go on to do. And so I think that those people that develop the curriculum and those assessments need to probably acknowledge that a little bit more
and be
more accommodating for children that learn differently.
That's right.
They really, really do. Anyway, I could talk about this forever and ever, and we sort of do on this podcast. But if you haven't listened, please go. I know most of you have, but go and listen to the Parenting Spectrum. We'll put it all in our show notes.
That's right.
Or every way you can find Travis. Once COVID's finished, he can come to your school and revolutionise that too.
Yes.
So, you know, as you know, he's awesome. So we will, and we'll do everything we can to support you and you know, if we ever get our website functional, I'll put all the links to that on there as well. But I don't know how to do it.
We didn't learn that in year 12.
We did not learn that in year 12. I did typing, okay?
Yes, I did too, and I was really good at it.
I'm old.
I think I did throwing airplanes.
Anyway, we are now going to do our cry difference laugh. Would you like to join in?
Yeah, sure.
Awesome. All right, Mandy, do you want to go?
Have you got anything that made you cry this week, Travis, or is emotional?
I think it's an emotional one. So it's Patch's first day back at school today.
Oh.
And he'd had a really, really rough week the week before. And he hadn't spoken a word, and that he was really struggling with a lot of his senses. And he said to me this morning, "Bye-bye, Dad.
Oh.
I love you."
Oh.
And to hear those words on his going back to school, because he was so pumped, he probably had enough of me.
Yeah.
But it made me, I think, cry.
Yeah.
And I was quite emotional.
Oh, yes, 100%.
Those words, that's all it takes.
Yeah, it is all it takes.
We're lucky we've been using a cleaner through the NDIS to support us. And the cleaner didn't turn up last week.
Oh.
And I tell you what, I don't know if that made me angry, but it certainly made me want to just cry.
I know.
I want to shout out to all the cleaners that help our families stay afloat. And I don't want to hear any talk about cleaners not being a worthwhile job or anything. My cleaner and my friend who comes into my house, she changes my life.
Absolutely.
She saves my life.
Yes.
I can't even say that enough.
No, the cleaning is the biggest
gift. So shout out to all the cleaning peas.
Oh, yes, we just.
It is incredible, incredible how it makes you feel.
Yes,
it is.
To have a clean house, even if it's a clean house just for 5 minutes.
For just 5 minutes, Travis.
Yep, doesn't matter. You walk through it and you feel good.
Oh, I hug her when she comes to the door. Well, not anymore.
Well, now.
But I said, does anybody else hug you when she comes? And she says, no, just you. And then when she leaves, I say, bye, wife. Thank you. I'm so thankful for her. Her name is Kim.
Oh, yeah. That's a mask on hug too, isn't it?
Yeah, yes, it is.
Well, at mask the moment, no hugs. Here. You can't even be in the house
no
when they're
hugs.
Cleaning.
Yeah,
you've all got to
right.
vacate. It's pretty,
massive.
Yep.
I cried just because it's just hard here.
Yes.
And I was very anxious getting everyone back to school after 2 terms of being home.
Yes, it was really
full
on.
And so I was just like, come on, Mandy, you've got to get everything organised and just just work really hard for 3 days to
yep.
set everybody else for, up for success.
Yes.
Get the uniforms out, get the food ready. Who wants what in your lunches? Tell me what you want. I want to make sure you have the happiest first day
yep.
that I can control. You know, so I was tired.
Oh, yeah.
I was really so tired.
I was just nervous the whole day. And I must say, my boys' beautiful school sent me 2 emails to say how they were managing and that they'd need, you know, don't just let them de-stress when they get home. They've had to really hold it together because they have to wear a mask.
Yes.
So it's
massive.
It is massive. And they just were so amazing. But, that was a very full-on day. I cried also doing that. And I just, you know, that feeling of like, we can't let this escalate. We have to just be calm.
I was like, I have to be the best mum for 3 days. Do not budge.
Yes, don't.
Do not let anything get to you. Just stay calm.
Yep. We had the uniforms out for
really
a few days. Just look at them. This is what we're going to be wearing. And And then my actual cry is very similar to Travis's. The other night I'd had a very long day. Mandy and I have had some big days with just media and stuff. And I was just lying in my room and Woody came in and he loves to lie exactly on top of me.
Yeah.
And then I put my arms around him and hug him as you can't hug tighter. That's what he loves. And he just relaxes.
Yes.
And he just like whispered into my neck. He said, I love you.
Aww.
And I just cried. And I just thought, I bet you other people's 15-year-old sons don't do this.
No.
And I am lucky.
Yes.
He just loves me.
Yes, he does.
Yep. Nice. And I just thought, I don't know, I just had that little cry.
I cried when
beautiful.
My daughter took her little Hulk to school.
Yes.
And put it in her pocket because she said, Hulk will help me. And I thought the same thing. I drove away from the special school thinking, I don't think any other 15-year-old girls are carrying a Hulk into school and I don't care.
No,
and
it's beautiful.
It's so beautiful.
It's so great.
Of course Hulk will protect her.
Of course he will.
It's the best. Dear.
And has anything made a difference in your life this week, Travis?
Look, I've got to give a shout out. To somebody.
Go for it.
Because this is a story of kindness. And so this makes a real difference, not only in my life, but the life of this particular individual. And people right across Australia hear this. So she runs a cafe in Maryborough called Madame Chi Chi's Cafe. Like all cafe owners right around the world, but, you know, particularly if we look at, you know, Victoria's situation at the moment, they're really, really struggling.
Yep.
And so she's only ever been able to have a couple of people come into that cafe.
Mm,
and so last week she had another business owner who also works in the hospitality industry who's in competition to her, came in, they had a pizza, they had a glass of wine, and that would have cost $30.
Yep.
And they handed her a $100 note.
Mm.
And they said, I'm sure it's $100 worth. And she said, no, it's not. And they go, just take it as a tip, please.
Aww.
And I just thought that sums up what this is all about.
Yep.
It's looking after each other when
it
times
is.
Are really, really tough.
Yes.
And it just made me feel like there's some amazing people out there in the world.
Yes, there are.
Yep. And they're the stories
and
we need to
hear. And it made her feel amazing,
yes.
but it also made the person that gave the money feel amazing.
Yes,
as well.
And it's made us feel amazing.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Mine is similar. Some donuts just arrived at my doorstep yesterday after school from Uber Eats.
Mandy loves donuts.
I just love them. And they were hot jam donuts.
Aww.
And it was from an old friend, Vera, who's moved to Queensland. We were at school together when our girls were little.
Aww.
And I just texted her straight away and said, thank you so much. And
Aww.
She said, well, I've been listening to your podcast and I just love it. I'm sorry if I was a rectum. And then we went on to talk about more stuff and she said, I'm just thinking of you. And, you know, just one little thing.
Yep.
And my girls, you should have seen everyone.
That's incredible. Like, my mouth is watering.
I know. All three girls were like, nom, nom, nom. So lovely. So thank you, Vera. That made a difference to me.
Well, my difference is that my son, the sound engineer, on Saturday night hung out with Buzz and Woody and got them Uber Eats Maccas. And we obviously can't have anyone in our home in Victoria, but we are allowed to go outside and have a picnic with one other household, but only up to 5 people. So myself and my husband and my beautiful friend Lorraine and her husband, whose name is Buzz, not my son, we went to our park. It was freezing cold. We had puffy jackets and blankets. We put on my new iPad and we watched the footy.
Oh.
And I can't tell you that I knew the boys were safe.
Yes.
I had this sense of community because I was watching footy with somebody as another couple, and we just had the best night.
Yeah.
And I think COVID's really taught me it's just the simple stuff.
It is.
That is. Mm. I was just on a high. I've watched football with my friends. It didn't cost anything.
I know.
We just sat in the park.
Back to basics.
Yep, back to basics. And it was literally, I could walk home in 4 minutes as well. So you don't have to really stress.
Even better.
Even better.
My 9-year-old's turning 10 in November and I said, well, look, 10's a big deal. So we normally have a party. We're going to have plan A and plan B.
Yes.
She said, plan A, it's a drive-by. So we put the table out. We're going to have cupcakes and bags and people will drive. I think she's been watching YouTube.
Yeah, but she just knows no one has parties.
I was thinking, I'm happy with plan A. Quietly, we didn't even get to B. Cute. What about something that made you laugh this week, Travis?
Oh, look, this is – I don't know if you're going to find this funny. Jenna and I found this really funny. So we watch Hard Quiz with Tom.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah. He's my type of humor. He's got like quite dry, very witty. It is.
Yes.
And I started talking to Fiona about, I reckon I should get on this show and that my key topic should be Tom Gleason.
Oh, yeah.
Put it out there.
And how funny that would be.
It would be so funny.
Yes. Has she got connections?
And it just had us in hysterics just talking about it in terms of what the questioning would be backwards and forwards.
I just laughed so much. When people got annoyed at him for winning the gold Logie.
I know. That was the greatest.
I loved it.
Oh, same.
Me too.
Oh, what about you, Maddie?
Oh, well, we were on radio for a couple of days this week for Carers Week, for Carers Australia.
Yep.
And we just laughed so many times just in the connection or Zoom working. And then we were on like with Sirius ABC, then we were with like Rogue, you know, Triple M. And we just had no idea what we were getting each time.
No.
And then we got to Billy from Shepparton. And he was so funny.
So funny. Went on a TikTok rant. I was like, what's this got to do with us?
And we were laughing. And then he talked about being a toy boy for us. But then we just said, we don't want a toy boy. We want a wife.
We want a cleaner. And he want to come to our house, you got to clean up.
Oh, okay. And then I said, I want someone to come and pick up the undies. And you could see he was just, you could hear him just like, what are these two women?
Believe me, there's no time for a toy boy.
No.
You come here, you help.
I could come and mow your lawns. We were like, no, we don't need that.
We want you inside.
Anyway, we laughed and laughed and, thank you to everyone that had us on the radio.
It was really funny.
It was really fun.
My laugh this week is I bought a present for a friend of ours and I left it at the front door. And for some reason, Woody wrote the whole alphabet on it and then the word sexy. So it's on this gift. I've got a gift. And I said, "What? Why did you do that?" And he goes, "I don't know." I said, "That's a present." He goes, "Oh, that's good. I bet no one has ever had a present with that written on it before."
I said, it sounds like a word sign.
I was like, "I'm keeping it on there. I bet no one has had a present with the alphabet and sexy written on it before."
What did your friend say?
I haven't given it to them yet. So I laughed a lot. I was just like, yep, look, he sat and did that. Took him ages.
Yep, well, great. Oh, they're so funny.
They're so funny. So, thank you, Travis. This has been amazing. We will meet one day in person.
Yes. Thank you for giving us your time.
Thank you. We wanted to talk to you.
No, thank you. Thank you.
And give and our love
for
to
anyone
Fiona
that
and
wants
Pat.
To follow Fiona and myself and what we're up to. Head on over to School of the Road. That's our Facebook site.
And
School
it'll all be Road. In our cool. show notes. Yep. You can just scroll under the show and click on it. And we will stay in touch, of course.
Yes.
Because we
Keep
love
up
what you
the
do.
Great, amazing, life-changing work.
You're an awesome human.
You're a beacon of light in this world.
You really
Keep
are.
Keep going.
Our parents all love you.
Yes.
Right back at you.
Oh, thank you. All right.
Thank you, Trav. See you. Bye.
Cheers, bye.
Hey, Peas. It's me again, Trav. There's one other thing I want to talk to you about. It's about you and your mental health and well-being. I know how hard you all work to support your children and how you often place your own needs and wants at the end of the queue. So that's why I created an episode about self-care for the ABC podcast, The Parenting Spectrum. It's episode 8. It's hardcore, educational and emotional. Fiona and I even give up alcohol for 3 months. We make some pretty dramatic dietary changes and incorporate an exercise regime that doesn't require a lot of time. More importantly, that journey a few years back leads us to giving up alcohol this time around for 12 months with no thought of going back to it. How cool's that? I honestly feel more alive than when I crossed the Rocky Mountains by bicycle with Patch. I have more focus than I've ever had. Check it out. It may just inspire you to make yourself a priority.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.